The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Let's get started. Hi, I'm David Snyder. I'm a law professor here, as you probably would have guessed, and director of the business law program. And with me are a couple other people who also happen to be law professors here. Andy Pike, who teaches tax, and among other things, and Jim May, who teaches antitrust, among other things. And this is a chance to talk really informally about choosing courses if you're interested in business law, tax, antitrust, and we're also happy to talk about more general matters. And the way we usually do this is to say something very briefly, each of us, and then open it up for Q&A. And I think what all I'll do for my brief period is...
Can I ask
sure.
a question first?
Sure.
How many of you are first years?
So every time I do this, Professor Pike says, you know, David, they know how to use the internet. So maybe I'll actually do. But I just wanted to show you some resources that are available. So if you're interested in business law, you can go, this is, and you probably can't read this, I realize. I'm sorry about that, but y'all could sit closer.
Yes, and people at that table, move on.
So, anyway, if you go to programs, this is on the main site.
Well, nobody ever listens to me before.
He didn't actually think y'all were going to do it. It's great. If you go to programs, so I just click on programs here, and we have a number of programs at the law school, and they're listed here in order of importance. Business law program is first. And that takes us to the Business Law Program website. And it has all kinds of interesting stuff there. And you can look at our faculty. And on this screen, we're all really kind of squished. But anyway, there's a calendar of things going on, that sort of stuff. That's not the point for today. The point for today is there's a list of courses. And so if you click on this big view the curriculum thing, and one of the great things about AU is our business law curriculum is amazing. We have, roughly speaking, 150 different courses in and related to business law. So that's roughly 10 times more courses than you can possibly take, which makes choosing sometimes a little difficult. And being aware that the course catalog is... dare I say, virtually unusable. What we did is we took all the courses in and related to business law, and we organized them by practice area. And some of them are listed under more than one heading, but he made everybody move from there. Under more than one heading, but we tried to resist that, so there's not too much duplication. And rather than being keyed so much to law school categories, we really have tried to key it more to practice area categories. And so you can just scroll through here. And this is actually a brand new website that we launched like 2 weeks ago. And we're now putting in links so that each of these courses that we have listed here, you can click, and it'll take you straight to that course in the catalog. So it makes it, we hope, a little bit more usable. That part's not quite done. I hope my assistant will be finished doing that in the next day or two. But anyway, it does give you the course number, so you can go find the course description in the catalog, and hopefully this helps you find the courses that may be interesting to you. Now, that's a sort of broad overview. Not all of these courses are offered every semester or even every year. We try not to list them unless they're offered at least every other year. The idea being, if they're offered every other year, you can take them. So if you sort of want to see, all right, what is the global possibility of what I'm interested in? You're interested, let's say, real estate. You can go to real estate and you can see the real estate stuff or intellectual property, or you want sort of the core stuff up here, commercial law, bankruptcy, business entities. Business entities, we debated. Should we call it corporations? It's basically corporations in old-fashioned terminology. It's just there's so many entities now other than corporations. We didn't feel like we could still do that. But this is what used to be called corporate and securities. So you can find all that stuff. And then, but as I said, the hard thing is figuring out what of all of that you're going to take. And so what we did was we asked the business law faculty and said, hey, what advice would you give to law students trying to figure out what courses to take? And we each, I didn't know how many people would say yes and give us something, but it turned out not very many people. So Professor May, who you may or may not recognize right here.
I'm still that young.
Okay. It was the mustache that was throwing me off. So anyway, you can go and see what different professors have said. So this is Professor Susan Bennett. You can just click here and you can see her advice on how to choose courses. And she teaches in our community and economic development law clinic. And she has, you know, a perspective from that side. Professor Efros has some great stuff, sort of more general business law stuff, and you can click on his. He's actually got a couple here. Antitrust law that Professor May did. I did one here. And the one I did, I do a couple things. Aside from telling you what courses you might want to think about taking, which is I know what you really want to know, I try to give you some background first and explain to you sort of what's corporate and securities versus commercial law. And, you know, a lot of people weren't born knowing that corporate law is different than commercial law, but they are. And so, and you may not really even care, but eventually you will. And it will help you sort of organize in your head what you want to do, and then you can sort of look through the other stuff here to help you choose stuff. So that's what I'm going to say for my part of the wrap. And I think I'll take questions when we have all finished. So, Andy, Jim.
Okay. That's a very good overview and a good sense of where you can get a lot of the information organized in a really good way. If you want to get more of an overview of what antitrust law is about, I've actually brought some handouts for anybody who's interested. It'll give you a short overview of the basic statutes and the basic philosophy and the development over time. Basically, antitrust law is competition law, and it's called that in other countries. And it's designed to deal with private conduct that harms competition and therefore harms consumers by raising prices, reducing output, harming variety of offerings, slowing down technological development, etc. And it's one of the original federal business laws going back to 1890 with the Sherman Act, which is still the main federal antitrust act. And it's a field that deals with a lot of different kinds of conduct, various kinds of arrangements between head-to-head competitors. Read, for example, publishers of e-books. Deals with various relationships between suppliers and purchasers, deals with mergers that might be anti-competitive, monopolization, like the great AT&T case, and then more recently the Microsoft case. And it's a fascinating field, not only because it deals with such basic things about the way markets operate and the way we want them to operate and the ways in which they can be impeded from operating to the benefit of consumers, but it is a way to learn a very great deal about a lot of different kinds of business practices, to learn a lot about a variety of business contexts and industries. And it's also a field where there's been a lot of sophisticated development of economics and it's one of the fields where there's been the greatest effort to apply economics in law. And so you learn a lot about economics even if you haven't ever had any economics before. And that's a very useful thing in all kinds of fields of law and in life to know. And it's also a field where there has been for a long time a need to sort of figure out the limits of trying to have a field of law that is just applied economics, and why it is that any field of law can't be just applied economics. Why there are other things that necessarily have to come into the mix, right? What kind of dangers do you want to undertake of making mistakes in condemning things that shouldn't be condemned, or of letting go things that shouldn't be let go? And what are the, you know, the particular roles of courts and judges, and what's feasible? So in a nutshell, that's what the field is about. And the kinds of specific conduct that often gets targeted is when we have agreements among head-to-head rivals that can be from very hardcore, get together in a hotel room repeated times and fix prices. And in recent years, there have been gigantic cartel prosecutions for cartels that have operated all around the world that involve tremendous amounts of money. There can be much more ambiguous kinds of cooperation among rivals, which might in fact be good. You know, joint research and development, joint ventures, for example. Mergers can be good or bad as well. And it's really a fascinating field to learn about business, to learn about industry, to learn about economics. And if you're representing any kind of business client, you kind of want to know how you can get into trouble and try and avoid it. So in essence, that's what I would say, and I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Thanks, Ben.
I'm going to start off by following up on something David said. While I believe you know how to use the internet, I am terribly frustrated by the fact that in this one regard, you don't use it enough, damn it. when I was academic dean, one of my few accomplishments was to get the compilations of the student evaluations of teaching available to the students. Before, there was just paper copies beyond the reserve desk of the library. And I found out a couple days ago that students were going to rate my professor to see who were the good professors and who weren't. And I was pissed because not only do I not get a chili pepper, I wasn't rated at all. So I wasn't even a faculty member there. So, one bit of information on how to get information. You may recognize this site. This is my WCF. You've all used it, I think.
Perhaps. Perhaps.
You're in deeper trouble than I thought. There's a button there called Evaluations. Click on it. Over there, there's a button that says View My WCL Evaluation Results. And this lists, for the last few semesters, the folks who've taught at the law school. You can't see anybody for this semester because the results aren't available. Nobody can see the results for the current semester. The screens are not in. But if you want to see results for somebody who's teaching next fall, the best place to look is last fall, because the calendars tend to correspond. Faculty members are listed in alphabetical order. If you want to see George Contreras, you just look at the course, click on the results, and it'll be somebody who's resulted there. And there are tabulated results. You could read them at length. Here's some summary questions that tell you something about how the students felt about the professor. They're not perfect. It's not complete information. Sometimes it's not even very good information. Should this course be offered again? Some students think that the course in business association should be offered again. That doesn't tell us anything, because we're going to offer it whether the students like it or not. The course should be taught by this professor. Overall, the professor is an effective teacher. If you have a professor teaching course where they're getting ones and twos on a five-point scale, that's telling you something. The students hated the professor. If you're getting a professor who's getting 4.8s, 4.9s, and 5s, the students love the professor. May not be a good teacher, but the students love him. That's information you may want to use. It's available on my WCI. Students don't know about this. Use it. It's a pet peeve of mine for this week. Any questions? Now, course selection. If you have some interest in business courses, that makes sense for you to take some of the business curriculum. You don't have to know what you're going to do following law school. Business lawyers do a whole bunch of things. One of our more prominent alums, Tommy Goldstein, who's one of the nation's premier Supreme Court litigators, was once at the law school. I was talking to him, and I said, what would you do differently if you were going through law school now, knowing where you're going? Remember, he's a Supreme Court litigator. He said, oh, that's easy. I would have taken a bunch more business courses. And being very quick on my feet, I said, huh? Why? And he said, that's easy. When you litigate, even in the Supreme Court, you don't litigate. You litigate real cases. And it's good to know something about cases people are going to want you to litigate. Most of the stuff people are going to want you to litigate, unless you have a very special interest in things like perhaps criminal law or human rights or stuff that unrepresented minorities, unrepresented peoples have to deal with, it's business issues. So if you really want to be a litigator, knowledge of a range of business areas can be very helpful. It also doesn't matter where you're going to want to work. If you feel like you're really going to want to work in government, a whole range of government agencies litigate. The majority of the professors in this room worked in government agencies and litigate. Not him. But us too. Private practice also litigates. If you want to work in the legislative arena, they do business stuff too. Business law is everywhere that lawyers are. You know, what area of business law? David told you there's immense array. Second year should be a time for you to take areas that you think you might be interested in and explore them. If I was going to take one business course put on my agenda in the second year, in addition to some others, it would be business associations. I take others as well. Why business associations? It's an entry course into a whole bunch of other courses for which there are prerequisites. And it introduces you into the notion of fiduciary law, which is one of the building blocks of a bunch of different other courses. There are other immensely fun practice areas in the business law area, and we could talk about them when you have questions. I'll talk a little bit about tax. I love tax. I think it's so much fun. I think it's also interesting for two reasons that you usually don't think of. First, it's often a law student's first intense introduction to statutory law. And a whole lot of lawyers are going to spend their life spending too much time in statutes. And you get a real intense feeling about what it's like to work through statutes. Second, it's the way Congress plays with policy and influences behavior through a legislative tool, more so than any other nowadays. But it's also important to the immense array of other areas of practice. And if you're going to be a lawyer in the business area, tax considerations matter secondarily. And if you're not exposed to some tax law, you're going to make mistakes. You should know something about it. But the most important reason is it's fun. And not too many law school classes are as fun as tax law. Having said that, I'll sit down and turn back to the Master of Ceremonies, and we'll take any questions that you have.
Okay, so I think we're ready for your questions. I guess the only thing I would add to what's been said is, as Professor Pike was saying, litigation is all over the place. Most lawyers, though, actually are not litigators. Most lawyers do transactions. And when I say most, that means actually most. Most implies that somebody's gone out and counted. Somebody's gone out and counted. Most lawyers don't litigate. Most lawyers do transactions. But anyway, I think what Professor Pike was saying is, no matter how you slice it, with some very narrow exceptions, business is all over the place. Even if you think you're going to be the Supreme Court litigator, you're litigating business cases, even if you're not doing the transactions. So there's a lot more specific information up there, answers to questions like, you know, exactly what should I take when. Some of that is up there. But if you want us to talk about that now, we can, or answer any other questions. Questions, yeah.
Professor Snyder, in your course guidelines, you say BA, federal personal income tax, and I think secured transactions are sort of those foundational courses that we should take.
Right. I actually think everybody should take those, even people who know for certain that they're going to be public defenders for criminals. Need to take those courses. But obviously, yes, especially people interested in business law need to take those.
And I think our grandmothers and grandfathers and mom and dad,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So should we take, you know, you say to take BA and federal personal income tax as soon as possible. Can we take those two together? Are those sort of big box classes that we shouldn't take the same semester, or should we take BA in the fall and federal personal income tax in the spring, or?
I don't know the answer to that question. I would be tempted to try to take both as soon as possible, which would mean taking them both together. And so that's what I said at one point. But I said this is subject to the advice at the end. And one of the closing words of wisdom was, don't take too many big, hard courses all at once. So I would not, for instance, if I had a choice about it, take both evidence, which is clearly in my mind the big hard course, and federal personal income tax, which is really fun and really cool and is really about social policy, but is still a big hard course. I wouldn't take those. I don't know whether BA counts as a big hard course. When I took it, it didn't strike me as a big hard course. But I don't think I'm in a good position to judge that. I think the best person to ask whether that's feasible is to find some upperclassmen and say, is BA a big hard course that I need to be careful about taking that and other big hard courses? And there are ways you can deal with that. Like you can take two other little piddling courses. But if you're talking about next semester, you're required to take certain courses. And so that may affect, you know, how you see things. So that's an I don't know. Maybe one of my colleagues knows the answer. Great.
The way I counted, 2 4-credit courses are 8 credits. To fill up 8 credits, you're going to take 2 3-credits and a 2-credit course. Some of my colleagues who teach 3-credit courses are cramming 3.5-plus worth of material into 3 credits. depends on the course. If you're doing 3 credits plus a hard paper course for 2 credits, I'd rather have 2 4-credit courses, unless one of them is Rice's evidence class. Because I'd rather have 2 exams to study for rather than 3 exams to study for. Yeah, so I don't think 2 4-credit courses is worse than 3 courses, where the 3-credit course, the 3 courses are each going to be demanding. That could be much worse than the 2 4-credit courses. It depends on what you hear about the other courses that are alternatives.
I can't find a description for financial institutions. Can you just, if you know what that's about, or how it's different from like secure transactions or corporate finance?
Okay, well, that, the second question's a lot easier, because the financial institutions, and this area of the curriculum is in a bit of flux, as is this area of the law, mainly because of statutory responses to the financial crisis. But financial institutions is the course in financial institutions, which means sort of everybody thought, well, that means banks. The reason it's not the same as banking law is the reality now is financial institutions include lots of institutions other than banks, most prominently perhaps insurance companies, including financial insurance companies, think like AIG. But also regular kinds of insurance companies. Those are financial institutions too. And then we have other sorts of financial institutions that fall within that rubric. So financial institutions is, the way I think about it, is banks and other financial institutions. The closest course to it is domestic banking law, which is the law of U.S. bank regulation. And this has to do with regulating banks, or in the case of the financial institutions course, financial institutions more generally saying, look, everybody, the whole economy, the whole world is depending on y'all. We're going to keep an eye on you. Keeping an eye on you means all these laws and regulations, so it's about these laws and regulations to make sure that the banks are safe and sound. And that's the basic nub of what that's about. And then there are other areas in sort of that area of practice. You could do international financial institution. That tends to be things like the World Bank. And so there's other stuff. Secure transactions, what that is, that's the law of lending with collateral. And the way I see it is the closest we have in law school, I think, to a course on the law of lending. And that's why I think it's so important, because we live in a credit economy, so you better figure out how credit works. Unfortunately, the name of the course, and it uses this name at virtually every law school, is either secured transactions or secured credit, which makes, you know, most non-lawyers don't know what that means. But what it technically means is the law of lending with collateral, and in that you learn a lot about the law of lending, period. This is not about the safety and soundness issues of the bank, like, is the bank going to get in trouble? It's more like, okay, if I make this loan, am I going to be able to get paid back? And if not, can I realize on the collateral, and how does foreclosure work, and that sort of thing. You asked about one other course.
Can I just mention something about the financial institutions? Jerry Comisio, who's teaching that course, is a banking lawyer. His focus will be on banks, Dodd-Frank type issues arising concerning the regulation of domestic banking institutions. We may talk about insurance companies a bit, but the focus is going to be, I think, Dodd-Frank and banking.
Yeah, which is typical, because that's sort of what comes first, and then the rest tends to get thrown in, if it does. And that was the third
corporate finance.
Oh, and so corporate finance is the course on how companies raise money. And sometimes they borrow money from banks. And that's typically in transactions along the lines of the ones you study in secured transactions. And you've got a whole course on that. But another way they raise money is by selling stock, right? So issuing equity in public offerings, sometimes you can do it private placements, you know, various other sorts of things, mezzanine finance, etc. And they may issue bonds, you know, that's another way to raise money. So corporate finance is the course that helps you see the law governing and also some of the business issues governing. Okay, do I want to issue bonds? Do I want to issue stock? Do I want to borrow from a bank? Do I want to try and do a securitization transaction? That sort of thing. So that's looking at the broader picture of the law governing how companies raise money.
So I am interested in practicing internationally eventually, but I realize I need to be flexible. So to what extent can I take international equipment, such as international antitrust or international finance, and still have enough of a working understanding of domestic practice to learn on the job?
The conventional wisdom that I always hear, and that I think is true, is that the best international lawyers need thoroughly to know their own system first. And so that's the advice. I think you can mix it up some. I don't think you always have to do, you know, the domestic course and then the international course. But so far, and I did some international business, and that is what everybody says, and I think that's what they believe. Other questions?
One thing that hasn't gotten said yet is that I think you'll find our faculty really not just willing, but happy to meet with you individually to answer questions. And if you go to the Business Law Program website, you can sort of see the different areas that people do. So, and we even have some areas of specialization listed. We're working on revising those, so they're a little better, but what's up there will give you some idea. And so if you say, you know, I'm interested in thus and so, find the person, send them an email, say, you know, when are your office hours, can I come by or make an appointment, and almost everybody will be very happy to meet with you, or you can meet with one of us. We're happy to help do what we can to answer individual questions. Thank you.
Anybody wants an antitrust handout? Right here.
If anybody has questions that they don't want to talk about in the large group right now, but wants to ask right now, we'll